Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, the lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have a tough journey as believers in Christ living in this world today. We have so much pressure from external sources trying to get us to conform to the ways of this world, mm-hmm. to go back to what life used to be before we knew Christ. But we do have this truth that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have Jesus Christ living inside of us, and he is the power for our journey. So he's rest for our soul, he's power for our journey. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Paul writes this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So work out who you are in Christ. That's basically what Paul is saying. And do so with an attitude of humility, not one of pride. That's from the world. That looks a lot like the world. But do so with an attitude of humility. And here's the reason. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So you're basically working out what God has worked in. So as you go through life, God is working in you constantly, consistently, to do and to will and to work for his good pleasure. So your role is to simply trust, to rely, to depend. And as you do, you're going to bear the fruit of his work in and through you. That's just the way this Christian life works. So you don't have to do this on your own. You're not out there gutting it out. God doesn't save you and then says, good luck.
Yeah.
Do your best and we'll meet at the pearly gates when you die. He doesn't say that at all. No, he comes to live inside of us. He took away our sins. He forgave every single one of them. He made us holy in God's sight. He made us perfect. He gave us the very righteousness of Christ. He made us alive so that he could come and live inside of us. And the fact that he lives inside of us means that we're always in God's favor. It also means that we have power for our journey, that he himself is the one that equips us, mm-hmm. and powers us to do and to live as children of God in this world. So remember this, for it is God who works in you. Right now, believer, those who are listening to the sound of my voice right now, if you're in Christ, here's the good news. Christ is in you, and Christ is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. Take rest in that. Yeah. Be grateful that God is at work in you.
Indeed. Well, Bob, thanks for those insights. And friends, glad you're with us to hear them today. 844-322-2742. If you have about 3 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And the lines, as I said, are open for you. We'd like to discuss your particular issue if you have one, your particular Bible question if you have one. So call now, 844-322-2742. Bob, as we get the program underway, we've been talking lately about a rather urgent need of support by September 30th. I'd like our listeners to hear about it again from you, if you don't mind.
Well, we always go through summer doldrums. You know, we have a good June to close our books for our fiscal year, and then contributions normally drop off significantly in July and August, and so we need to catch up in September. And we saw a great response last year. We're seeing a really good response this year, but we still have some work to do. Yeah. And this will just enable us to keep our bills paid and keep this good news going out over the airwaves.
Right.
You know, radio is a powerful, powerful medium, and it's the most cost-effective medium out there in delivering the good news. It reaches people wherever they are, in their cars, in their offices, in their homes, and they can listen just with true open ears and open hearts. Mm-hmm. And couple that with the power of the gospel. Couple that with the power of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you've got a recipe for powerful change.
Yes.
In a person's life. They don't have to pretend to be something that they're not. A lot of times when people go to church, they put on airs, they wear masks, and you know, somebody asks how are you, and you just automatically say, oh, fine, mm-hmm. knowing deep inside you're hurting like never before. So radio gives people an opportunity just to listen as they are.
Yeah.
They don't have to pretend. And like I said, you couple that with the power of the gospel, transformation takes place. So we're asking you to invest in that power of the gospel to deliver this good news heart to heart through the Basic Gospel Radio broadcast.
So we have a specific need, though, as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're asking for, a couple of weeks ago, we said we need $50,000 additional dollars between now and September 30th. We've raised about 25 of that, so
okay.
We're about halfway there. So we need to hear from you between now and next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So a $50 donation, a $100 donation, a $500, whatever you can do at this moment in time is going to be a big help to Basic Gospel, a big help to people tuning in every day seeking answers for their problems.
We encourage you, friends, right now to go to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the home page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And when you give, we're going to send you a copy of our DVD called Your Living Hope. It's by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, and we'd love to send one to you. So just go to basicgospel.net and make that donation today if you can.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our airwaves and talk to Pat listening to us here in Texas. Hi, Pat. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah.
What's on your mind? How can we help you?
Hello, Pat.
I wanted to know about...
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just had a question about... Yeah, I wanted to know about if pastors, can they have the depressed?
Depression? Well, Pat, anybody can suffer depression. We can all
suffer
go through
depression.
Yeah, we can all go through
depression because they've been going through that for some time.
Yeah, well, there's numerous people that suffer from depression. It's a big problem in the world today. It's a big problem here in America. We see it affecting almost every single age group, every single demographic, and that includes Christians, and that includes people in ministry. And so as believers in Christ, we need to show hearts of compassion for people that are experiencing depression, and to be voices of encouragement, voices of hope that can be a help to people as they go through it. You know, a lot of times pastors suffer depression because they feel isolated from their congregations. They feel alone. They feel separated, that like they're going on their journey by themselves. And that gets discouraging to them. And a lot of times that discouragement can turn into self-pity, and that self-pity can turn into depression, and then that can turn into despair. So we're all, vulnerable to that, and that's why we need one another as the body of Christ, and that's why we need the truth of God's love and grace, because that's ultimately the answer. As we start to grow in the grace of God and to grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, to walk in truth, we start seeing that truth setting us free from those things like anxiety and depression. But it's not certainly not a magic wand. We wave over somebody and all of a sudden they're free of depression. It takes time and truth.
Sure.
And as time and truth take place in a person's life, people start to see God at work inside of them. And they start to gain some hope, And that hope brings about encouragement, and that encouragement brings about change and transformation. So, Pat, do you know people that are suffering that, or do you know people that in your life? Or
thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Pat. We appreciate your call.
Yes, indeed.
And thank you for bringing this to the airwaves. And, you know, she's exactly right. Depression is common.
It is.
It is common to all of us, and it doesn't matter what you do. Your mind can be subject to all kinds of crazy things. So we just need to be aware of it, and be compassionate, and to be voices of hope and encouragement. Yeah. To those who are going through it.
Yes, we do. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, open lines, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had a couple of calls that came in overnight. Let's listen to the first one right now.
Hi, Bob. My name is Brenda, and I had a question. Me and my husband have been renting for over 10 years, and we were just looking at possibly buying our first house. I was wondering if there's anything in the Bible against going into debt. That's my question. Thanks. Bye.
Well, there's a lot of information in the Bible about debt, and it's certainly best to go through life debt free if you possibly can. If you could possibly save enough money to buy the house outright, that's going to be your best option. But that's usually not the case for people in the world today. You have to borrow something to get into a house. But the encouragement would be, Brenda, to save as big a down payment as you possibly can. Certainly 20% and more if you can do that. And that's going to give you, better rates as far as your mortgage and all of that is concerned. But even when you do that, here's the truth that Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is slave to the lender. So when you borrow money for whatever, it could be credit card, it could be student loan, it could be for a car, for a mortgage, all the things that we borrow money for, as soon as you borrow money, you become a slave to the lender. So you are at the discretion of the lender, and you are tying up future earnings for things that you've purchased today. So you're obligating future earnings to be spent on those payments. And after a while, you think, I want to get out from underneath that. But as far as a house is concerned, Brenda, save up the biggest down payment you possibly can. Take out a loan for the shortest term that you possibly can. If you can do it for 15 years or less, then that's going to be a great thing. So you and your husband kind of sit down, look at your budget, and say, we make this amount, and we want to put aside, we're able to spend like 25% of our monthly income on housing. And then you find a house that's going to meet that budget. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't try to stretch it. Stay within that. And I think you'll be comfortable. You'll have some margin in there to spend money on other things. You're not going to tie it all up in a house. So
right.
Be wise in your decision making as far as the amount of money you want to pay for a house.
Mm-hmm. Well, a house is one thing for your family, but to everybody, stay away from student loans if you possibly can. That
yes.
is a trap.
Yes.
That is a true trap. Another call that came in overnight, Bob. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Lee, and my question was, my husband and I are having a problem with our father-in-law, and it's between me and my father-in-law. According to my husband's point of view, who should he honor first? Should he honor his father because it says in the scriptures, honor your father and mother, or should he honor me? And basically, I was wondering if you could tell me what the role of a husband is, basically to protect his wife from outside influences that would actually hurt the wife, basically criticism, gossip, meddling, stuff like that a father-in-law could possibly do. to a daughter-in-law and what the role of the husband should be. And if you could give some scriptures for the husband's role to protect his wife, things like that. And could you please clarify and explain in detail? Thank you.
Well, Lee, thank you for that question. And it really hits the heart of marriage. I think marriage, we have to recognize, is the most significant relationship that we can ever be involved in. It trumps every other relationship. And so much so, here's what God said at the very beginning. So when he saw that it was not good for man to be alone, he formed woman out of his side. And after he did so, he said this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." So there's your answer, Lee. Right. There's the role of the husband right there. He leaves his father and his mother, and he cleaves, or he holds fast to his wife. So now, once a man enters into marriage, the most important relationship he has is his relationship to his wife. It trumps every other relationship. So he may be thinking that he needs to obey his father and to listen to his father and all of those things, and that means he's going to honor his father. But I think he needs to look at this scripture, and this is Genesis 2:24, and realize, no, he's left his mom and dad. Mm-hmm. He's formed a new union, and that union is with you. Now, here's the importance of that union. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5 as he talks about the role of husband and wife. And he says to the husband, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So he's saying to husbands, you get to reflect out there in the world what Christ's love for the church is all about by your love for your wife. So the relationship that a husband has with a wife is pretty important in God's grand scheme of things. There's a purpose to it. So, Lee, his priority is you. He is called to love you as Christ loved the church. And as he loves you, that means he's loving himself. He's caring for himself. Why? Because he's caring for you. And this is all a mystery. And as Paul said, but he's talking about Christ and the church. So, Lee, good question.
Yes, indeed.
So the two passages, Genesis 2:24, and then Ephesians chapter 5, verses, I believe it's 22 down to the end of the chapter, that talks about the role of the husband and the role of a wife.
Lee, a great question, and I suspect that there are more than just you out there who heard this and will be blessed by it and having that guidance from Scripture. So thank you for reaching out. Well, again, we have some time on the clock, 844-322-2742. We'd love to speak with you on this edition. Friends, this month's donor gift is a DVD called Your Living Hope. It's by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, and it answers that question, how do you stay strong and true to who you are in your Christian life in Christ? Well, it's our way of saying thanks to each of you, our donors this month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net, and as Bob related and we've done in previous days, we need $50,000 over and above to meet needs at the end of this month, which is only about 6 days away, I do believe. So we would love to have your partnership, so do what you can, and we will thank God for you. But again, Bob, we had this question that came in from one place listener. This is from Don. He says, I heard a preacher on the radio say that even those who are saved and are going to heaven will be rewarded according to their works. How do we know what works we should be doing?
Well, God has prepared beforehand works for us that we will walk in.
Yes.
So it's not like we have to figure this out. God has said the work of ministry is to believe on the one whom he sent. So our work, so to speak, is simply trusting in Jesus Christ. And as we're trusting Jesus Christ as we go through life, then ministry opportunities are just going to come knocking at our door. We don't have to go looking for them. They're just going to be right there in front of us. Somebody will need encouragement. Well, God has prepared you for that moment in time to be an encourager. Somebody may need to hear the gospel message, to hear the specific words that Christ died for their sins, that Christ was buried, and on the third day Christ was raised according to scriptures so that that person could have life. So that's a work that God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. So all you have to do is simply trust, walk by faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul said, we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So our work is simply to live by faith in Jesus Christ. And as we live by faith, as we read at the top of the hour, we're going to be able to work out what God has worked in, and that's going to be walking in those works that he's prepared beforehand. And so when we get to that day of judgment, I think we're going to have an opportunity to see how God has worked in and through us, mm-hmm. and the great things that he has done in the lives of people
right.
through us.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be a glorious time.
Absolutely.
We may be able to, and all the other stuff that is done in the flesh, it's just going to be gone.
Yeah.
It's just going to be gone. Yeah. So it's not something that we need to fear. I mean, our sins have been judged. There's no negative judgment for a believer. This is all positive stuff that will conclude with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
And those are words that we all want to hear. Finally, this question from Lewis, Bob, as Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." Does this scripture apply to believers only? What about unbelievers when they face difficulty? Are they to work things out alone?
Well, I think it's just saying to us that do know Christ, that we have someone in our corner, that somebody who is for us and not against us. Mm-hmm. We certainly have an enemy out there in the world. We have someone that accuses us constantly. And what Paul is getting at is that we have God in our corner. And so because we have God in our corner, we can be thankful in the midst of our circumstances, knowing that God's going to work it together for good. So this is just a fabulous promise.
Yes.
Now, what is he working together for good for someone that is lost? Well, what his desire for someone who is lost is salvation.
Yeah.
And so he's going to work things so that that person can be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see the offer of life that is available through faith in him. So, you know, we have circumstances that as lost people, and I know in my life, God used a lot of those circumstances to draw me unto himself.
Sure.
So he was working it together for my good, and the fact that at a point in time I received Jesus, was made alive together with Christ, was made into a new creation. Now, talk about good news. Talk about God working something out together for good. That worked out together for good. So it was for my salvation, and now I can trust him to continue that work in my day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel. We're going to be back tomorrow at the same time, same station. I hope you'll be here, too. And in the meantime, if a question pops into your mind, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and you'll probably hear it answered on tomorrow's broadcast, as Brenda and Lee did today. Again, that's 844-322-2742. If you'd rather write your question, you can address Bob at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, you know, your donations to Basic Gospel help us keep this good news coming on your station and online. And when you give in September, we'll send you our DVD called Your Living Hope by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. It's our way of saying thanks for supporting this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ called Basic Gospel. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, please donate at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day, and you'll find the links at the very top of our homepage at basicgospel.net, and you can join us tomorrow on one of those venues. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.